Penguin Random House Audio presents Stray, a Memoir by Stephanie Danler. Read for you by Alex McKenna.
To Matthew and Julian Wilde, the end of this story and the beginning of the next. Now I am quietly waiting for the catastrophe of my personality to seem beautiful again. And interesting, and modern. The country is gray and brown and white in trees, snows and skies of laughter, always diminishing, less funny, not just darker, not just gray. It may be the coldest day of the year. What does he think of that? I mean, what do I? And if I do, perhaps I am myself again. Frank O'Hara, Mayakovsky. I have been looking all my life for history and have yet to find it. Joan Didion, South and West. Part 1, Mother. Laurel Canyon, California. The list of things I thought I knew but did not know grew quickly during my first weeks back in Los Angeles. A hummingbird dropped dead. Its wings stopped pounding. Gravity took over. Its body jumped when it hit the wooden deck. I didn't know that the water in my bird feeder was moldy. "An omen?" asks Eli, who is sunning himself in my yard, his tan a mark of leisure, unemployment, and depression. It's 2015, and he's living in San Francisco, his startup circling the drain, his bank accounts depleted by a summer in Mykonos, Spain, Tel Aviv. But here he is, hopping commuter flights to Los Angeles based on his whims or mine, coming home at 8 a.m. from an after-after-hours party. "I thought you were at breakfast," I would say, already at my desk, and he'd laugh in my face before passing out in my bed fully clothed, cigarette smoke wafting up. He slept off entire days, weeks, months of his life. "Oh, to be Eli," was what we said behind his back. It seemed that no triviality of responsibility, debt, or consequence could ever latch on to him. "Is it possible it's a good omen?" I ask. "No," says Eli. I stare at the bird and wonder why it chose me to witness its death. I've always been ashamed of the Southern California mysticism I've kept. But there it is, the belief in a divine pattern just outside my field of vision. It's given me this seeking frame of mind that never resolves or rests, but wants to move me closer to a fundamental truth. Mystics, I find, ask why before who, what, where, when, how. A tendency that leaves them bereft of practical knowledge. And this is Los Angeles, a town full of oracles, con men, real estate speculators, all high on self-delusion, self-gratification, marijuana, and a shitload of quartz. I had just come outside from writing about my father. The writing made me physically tender. Flu symptoms would flourish, and I'd sit in the sun until they passed. I moved here in the middle of fire season. A knuckle-cracking wind flies through Laurel Canyon, where I found a cottage to rent while I wait for my next life to start. Every snap of static is a potential spark. A few nights earlier, I'd entertained at the house, built as a hunting cottage back in the 1920s. When the Santa Monica Mountains were filled with populations of mountain lions, deer, and boar, which by the 1920s were well on their way to being killed off, in no small part due to cottages like this one. There were stone stairs carved into the hillside outside my bedroom that led to an old trail. The trail now led to the mansion above me on the hill, whose pool was resting on stilts that touched down near my house. I heard their pool parties. Once a flamingo float was thrown overboard and landed in my yard. I was still good at dinner parties, a skill left over from my married life. Though I was out of practice, and now they took me all day to prepare. I swept the dust and debris off the outdoor table in the morning, only to find that by the afternoon it was covered again. The winds. I made a vinegar-braised chicken, an Alice Waters recipe. I came out more elegantly than I expected. The night was almost too cold for Chenin Blanc, and we wore sweaters. I bought small hurricane lamps at Home Depot, which glowed and bestowed upon this scene a stylishness far beyond my capabilities. The canyon rose up above us, rickety.
"I have a friend," someone started, "who was at a party with the fire chief of Los Angeles. He said what scares him most, more than Malibu or anywhere else in the Santa Monica Mountains, is Laurel Canyon. He said it keeps him up at night."
We discussed how Laurel Canyon has only one way in and one way out. Single ingress and egress is what they call it, which means that not only would the road be swarmed with cars trying to evacuate, it would also be impossible for emergency vehicles to get in. "Not to mention the tiny streets up the hill," someone else chimed in. "I can barely get my sedan through there." All this became clear in the 1950s, when the canyon was ravaged by fire and it was impossible to defend. There was the tinder-dry vegetation to contend with. In addition to the density of housing, prolific and vertical, which adds to its vulnerability, as fire is driven upward when it burns. Cyclonic, some call those fires. Yet the fires of the 1950s, the 1970s, the early aughts, did not impede building. Quite the opposite. Look at Malibu. Real estate companies were given tax breaks to rebuild, homeowners advised to take out insurance, and a cheerful amnesia was prescribed to anyone living near the Santa Monica Mountains, or really anywhere in this disaster-prone city. The mountains have always been on fire, since Spanish sailors spied this land in the 1500s, calling San Pedro the Bay of Smoke. The Chumash and Tongva Native Americans practiced controlled burns of the hills to avoid the kind of cyclonic infernos we have today. These fires seem to be the result of our ceaseless development, as well as our failure to fund fire prevention. The prevention itself means there's more chaparral, more sage scrub, more dried-out grasses that light up when the fires and winds do come. And they always come. Yet Californians build, pick through the ashes of their houses, build again. This I understand. People often act against common sense when they've fallen in love with a fantasy. And isn't this Laurel Canyon cottage a fantasy I had? As the landlord toured me through it and I noticed the lack of any updates since the 70s, he said, "Yeah, that's about when Fleetwood Mac lived here." I signed the check immediately, even though I knew I was about to run out of money. Toward the end of dinner, the winds came like a hot exhale and blew the napkins off the table. Some people made excuses, checked traffic on their phones. The remaining guests voted to move inside. In that foreboding, omniscient wind, I felt like a child again. Why did I come back here? I made up stories from the minute I could speak. A natural escapist, I was always looking for the hidden, real world. I believed, at points, that it existed underwater or in tide pools, in the roots of trees or in their branches, in outer space, under beds, in forts of blankets, in the house next door. I told my elementary school classmates that my father was an astronaut and therefore had to be away from home. I told my younger sister that we were exiled aristocracy, descendants of the Romanovs, and that she must always behave like a princess. I told my kindergarten friends that I was a mermaid, that I snuck out of my house each evening after putting my mother to bed. I ran to the ocean and spent nights racing in the black water with my real family. This is what children do.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?